for kids from birth to sixth grade. If you have a seventh, eighth, ninth high schooler, then we have an activity tonight that they're invited to called Connect. You can read about that in the bulletin as well. But we are so blessed with all these kids and blessed with our teachers as well. We also, here at Park Avenue, have shepherds that lead us spiritually, and they are available to us all the time, but especially they want to make themselves available today. If you have come this morning with a heavy heart, then they want to pray for you. If you've come with a joyful heart, then they want to pray with you as well. So we'll have a couple of elders and their wives in the hallway as you exit the worship center to the left, and they will be honored to pray with you this morning. So at any time during the sermon time, feel free to be dismissed. Glad that you're here. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and so continuing this thought of the resurrection, what it means to us. But have you noticed that there's something wrong with this world? Something just is not right. Now, no doubt, this is a beautiful world. I'm not saying God made everything that was good, and it still maintains so much of its beauty, but there is something that just is not right with this world. Putting disasters, shootings, hatred, anxiety, even putting that all aside, we observe the world and we notice that everything is falling apart. Nothing really lasts. In fact, we sing a song, "Do you feel the world is broken?" And the response is, "We do, we do." And we're reminded about that every day. We're reminded that this world is falling apart, that things don't last. You go to the grocery store, you buy milk, you buy eggs, you buy cheese, you buy anything that is perishable, and it comes with an expiration date. That expiration date means that whatever you just bought, it's going to go bad someday. You go to the store and you buy some type of electronic, maybe a phone, computer, something like that. When you check out, they always ask you, "Do you want to buy the extended warranty?" Because they know that whatever you just bought, something is going to go wrong. You buy a car, and as you drive that car off the lot, it comes with a maintenance manual, because whoever sold you that car knows that something is going to fall apart and you're going to need to fix it, and here is how to fix it. We're constantly being reminded that everything in this world is breaking down, even us, even you, even myself. We are just falling apart, aren't we? Now, we may be deceived for a while. The first 3, 4, 5 decades of life, it seems as if we're getting better. We're getting stronger. We're getting faster. We're growing. We're getting smarter. And so for the first few decades, 3 or 4 decades in life, we start thinking to ourselves, we are invincible. Everything just keeps getting better and better and better. But then we get to a point. It happens in different times for different people. We get to a point in our life where we think, you know what, I'm just not as fast as I used to be. I'm not as mentally sharp as I used to be. And we start wondering to ourselves at some point in our lives, physically, we think, is this as good as it gets? I see that in my life all the time. We're playing pickleball Tuesday night. Play pickleball out here. Pickleball itself is a testimony to the fact that we're falling apart. You know, someone decided we need to create a sport, take another sport with a big court, and we need to shrink it down because we know old people can't run as fast and as far. And so let's create a sport that makes us feel not quite as old. But anyway, we're playing pickleball Tuesday night. And so I'm there, and there was this lob over my head. And so I jump, and I hit that ball. I think I won that point. But I actually jumped. And so someone, I forget who it was, I don't know who it was, made this comment, because we have people that are watching as well that are waiting to play. And they say, "Hey, Todd, you got 3 inches off the ground. Yay, way to go, you know? I used to have an amazing vertical leap, I'm telling you what. And now I can barely get 3 inches off the ground." It reminded me of Howard Rainwater, an elder of this church, the father of Rachel McClure. He once said to me, "Todd, there becomes a time in your life where a jump shot is simply just a shot. You know, there's no more jump to it." You know, I'm a baseball card collector. Brought a card up with me. This is a recent card. This is Well, I don't know if I can even read it. This is a 2021 baseball card. And you know, back when I was younger, I could read all these stats, no problem whatsoever. You know, I thought maybe they're making the print smaller now, so I get on a card from the 80s and I can't read that one either. I mean, my eyes are just not as good as they used to be. Elders and ministers, we go off on a retreat every fall. And a few of us, before the retreat, we go golfing, shoot around a golf. And so we were getting out of one of the vehicles, and one of the elders, I won't name who it was, but he got out of the car, and he says, "Man, I'm all stove up." I said, "What? What's that mean? I'm all stove up? Do you guys know what stove up means?" Yeah? Raise your hand if you can. If you know, all right, you know what stove up means. It means I'm tired, I'm worn out. We are falling apart, aren't we? And we're reminded of it every day. We drive by hospitals, we drive by assisted living facilities, we drive by cemeteries, all stark reminders that our bodies are falling apart. Aren't you glad you came today? Yeah, I can hear the conversations over lunch. Man, what an encouraging sermon Todd gave me today. He told us we're all falling apart. Well, that's the bad news. But today I have some good news. I've got some really good news. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 57. Paul's been talking about the resurrection. He's talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's talked about how it's undeniable. There are witnesses that can testify to the fact that Jesus literally raised from the dead. And then he's talked about how it's indispensable to our faith. We can't really have a faith without the resurrection. You can't believe that the people that you love who have died still live without the resurrection. You can't even have hope for your own resurrection without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Paul is going to continue to talk about the resurrection. And in this section, he's going to talk about the resurrection body. He's going to talk about our body of ours that is falling apart, but he's also going to talk about a new body that we're going to receive. He says it's similar to this body. It's a body, but it's going to be different. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 begins this conversation, and he poses two hypothetical questions that the Corinthians might have. In fact, they may have actually asked these questions of Paul. Paul says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What's going to happen? What is this all going to be like? And what kind of body will they come? So again, Paul's been talking about the resurrection, and so he's going to talk about what the resurrection body will be like. So I'm going to read this to you, this section 35 to 57, in just a minute. But as I read that, I want you to notice the many times that Paul uses the word body. We are going to have a body. And I also want you to notice there are several contrasts that Paul is going to make between this body that we observe that is falling apart and then this resurrected body. He's going to use these contrasts. He says, this body is mortal. The resurrected body is immortal. He says, this body is earthly, but the resurrected body is heavenly. He's going to say, this body is natural, but the resurrected body is spiritual. And then my favorite, he says, this body is perishable, but the resurrected body is imperishable. Before we read it, here's a little outline of those verses, 36 through 44. Paul's just going to establish this idea that, yeah, there are different bodies. And so when he talks about our body that we live in right now and the body that we will have in the resurrection, he says, "This we see this all around. We see different bodies. We see a seed, and then we see the plant. We see that there are different bodies among the animal kingdom. We even see in the heavenlies, there are different bodies associated with that. So when I talk about a new body, a different body, this shouldn't be foreign to you. In verses 45 through 49, Paul will explain, yeah, we have this natural body that decays and that perishes, and we've inherited that from Adam, the first person. But this new resurrected body is going to be because of the life-giving spirit of Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. We don't have this body yet, but he says because of the resurrection, we will. And then verses 50 through 57, some of the most powerful words in Scripture, Paul reaches this wonderful crescendo where he celebrates the day when that transformation is going to take place. So let me read to you these wonderful words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 57. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just as a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news. Let's just pause and let's just pray and dwell upon that. Father God, thank you so much that we have this great hope. Father, even as we get old, we just feel the aches and the pains. We just are reminded every day of how things are just falling apart. This world is falling apart. Our bodies are falling apart. But Father, we know that you have a glorious plan in store for us, that everything will be transformed. That includes ourselves, and that we have a resurrected body that one day you will clothe us with, a body that will no longer decay. And Father, we are just so grateful because it's all possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, fill us with this great hope and this expectation, this anticipation of what is to come. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have defeated death. Thank you for the glorious gift that you have given to us, the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him we pray. Amen. Let me just take a moment to highlight a few points. Really reminders to us, because as we were reminded every day that our bodies are failing, we need to be reminded of this great hope that we have. First of all, the resurrection validates our trust. We've been talking about trust a lot. That was our Covenant Sunday passage. We just sang about it, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And I've been urging you, I've been urging myself to trust in the Lord. I'm saying that's a wise way to live. That's what Scripture says. But we live in this world that is falling apart. And so sometimes we may wonder, why trust in God? Everything's falling apart. What is my trust based on? Where is my trust in the Lord getting me as I experience all of this decay and all of this chaos in our lives? We're subject to this perishable world, but because of the resurrection, That trust that we have in the Lord is not ill-advised. In 1554, Paul says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. He's probably referencing the book of Isaiah, the prophet, 600-700 years before Paul wrote this letter. But this is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. It says, he, God, will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all of our faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So when I tell you, when Scripture tells you to trust God because of the resurrection, because of this transformation that is about to take place someday, not yet, but someday, that trust is well advised. We can continue to trust in the Lord, even in this decaying world. Second of all, Jesus has reversed this decaying process. And so in this passage, Paul makes a contrast between Adam. Adam came into this world and was created. He was a human being. But because of sin, Adam started this process of decay. Death entered into the world, and God said, that's what's going to happen. You want to disobey me, then death is going to be initiated. And so Adam started all of this. But when Christ came, and by virtue of his resurrection, he reverses that decaying process. In fact, in the miracles of Jesus, that's what Jesus does. It's a highlight of what he's going to do for all of us. People who are sick are made well. People that have leprosy are made clean. People that are dead are made alive again. All of these miracles are just signs of what Jesus is going to do for all of the faithful people. Gordon Fee, a commentator, theologian, put it this way. He says, the long chain of decay and death inaugurated by the first Adam will finally be irrevocably broken by the last Adam. Adam brought death into this world. Christ has brought life into this world. Paul's going to talk about that, use that same contrast, that analogy, in Romans chapter 5. 15 through 17. So listen to what he says to that church there. He says, but the gift is not like the trespass. He's talking about the gift of eternal life that God gives us, and then the trespass, the sins that we commit. For if the many died by the trespasses of one man, Adam brought sin into this world. We have all followed suit. If many have died by the trespass of one man, he brought this decay into the world. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? So if Adam, his sin could have that much power to bring death into the world, how much more can Christ, the perfect life that he lived in his resurrection, how much more confidence can we have that he is bringing us life? Verse 16, nor can the gift of God be compared with the results of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. We're made right with God. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through one man, and death includes all of this whole process of dying, all this decay, everything that's falling apart, it started with Adam. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And so we can have confidence. Every time we see the world is decaying, we can say, Adam, look what you've done. And we've all participated, haven't we? We've all participated in sin. We need to remind ourselves, as we can't jump as high as, we can't run as fast as, we can't think as clearly, whatever it may be, we need to remind ourselves, if Adam could do that, imagine what Christ can do, again, by virtue of his resurrection. He can restore everything. He can reverse this decaying process. Romans chapter 8, another beautiful chapter. I've referenced it several times as we talked about the resurrection. These words are written by Paul to a people like us who are living in a broken world. And he says, that's what the world is. The world is just falling apart. Listen to what he says. He says, we know that the whole creation, everything, the world, has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You know, we live in this perishable world. It's groaning for liberation from decay. But we eagerly and patiently wait for the imperishable. But as we wait, we can be sure that when it happens, it's going to be instantaneous. And that's what Paul's going to say next. He says, we shall be changed instantaneously. Everything is just going to be reversed. Have you ever done remodeling at your house? Seems to take forever, doesn't it? It seems to go on and on and on. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just wave a wand or blink your eyes or whatever, and then all of a sudden that bathroom is what's exactly what you want it to be? It seems to take forever and ever. That just doesn't happen in this world. In fact, remodeling itself, you buy a house and it falls apart. Remodeling is, yeah, you're recognizing how things fall apart. And we need to recognize that that remodel is going to fall apart as well. Everything is perishable. And so those things take time, but Paul is saying that this transformation that's going to take place with each one of us, each person of faith, he says it's going to be instantaneous. 51 and 52, he says, we will all be changed. Praise God for that, right? We will all be changed. It's going to be in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. Dwight Moody, an American evangelist in the 19th century, he said this about his death. He said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of Northfield is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that sin cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned into his glorious body. I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us that hope. Some of you may have seen on our Facebook page yesterday, April Fool's, a rather clever joke about the sale of a toddle head. I brought the toddle head with me. There actually is a toddle head. I did a wedding for my cousin last year, and so as a gift, they had this bobblehead made of me. Looks like me a little bit. It's kind of creepy, though, isn't it? In fact, yes, it is. It's become a game in the office where we hide it in different places. And so Bayes will open up his door. Ah, there he is. But no, these are not available for mass production. But there is actually a toddle head. This is a version of me. This is a body of me. I prefer a real me. I do. But as different as real me is from bobblehead me, is going to be the difference between what we call real me and resurrected me. So Paul answers that question that he started out with. He says, new me will no longer be mortal. We'll be immortal. No longer earthly. We'll be heavenly. No longer natural. We'll be spiritual. No longer perishable. We will be imperishable. What a great hope we have, don't we? Amazing hope that we have. And all of that is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's one reason why we gather together, to remind us that there's great hope. That in the world that is falling apart, we have the assurance that we are headed to a world that will be made new forever. It's all because He lives. Amen. So let's stand together and in song proclaim this glorious good news that Jesus Christ lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives.